Firstly, good morning to all of you. And I was intending to show you roughly about 15 minutes presentation on the Thailand industry, but I don't think we have time for that. If I go into that, you know, we won't have time to do the Word of God justice. For. But briefly, I just want to say that this is the 8th year in a row that we have been to Thailand and doing God's work there and His ministry there with the privilege of being part of it. It's awesome. The ministry has grown in terms of width as well as depth. And I want to thank many of you who have contributed in different ways through prayers and even in financial giving and contributions that has made this ministry what it is today. We are really privileged to be part of that team. Now, I think I should share about that ministry itself on a separate occasion so that we can go into the Word today first. So maybe another time I'll talk further on that. All right, let's turn to Matthew 25 and today's passage reading from verses 31 to 46. Now, I had requested that for those of us who were here last week that we read the whole of Matthew 25 because I knew I would be running short of time anyway. So I'll just read 31 to 46 for now. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." Verse 44. They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now the context for this passage goes all the way to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is talking to his disciples and, you know, he's talking about the end times and the disciples are curious. And so they come to me and say, "Can you tell us when this will happen? And what are the signs that we will see for that to happen?" And he says to them, "The day and the hour is unknown one." Many people who come in the name of Christ will deceive you, saying that "I am the Christ too." These are his answers. But he goes on to elaborate, and that's where we are today. Now, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. And while this message has significance for everyone, it has special significance to people who profess to be Christians. And because we are talking about the events that are to come, I think we should listen carefully to what the word says. There are two parables, the parable of the virgins or bridesmaids, the 10 virgins, and then followed by the 3 servants who were given the bags of gold, and finally to this discourse that Jesus brings forth at the end, the passage we just read. So in the case of the 10 virgins, or bridesmaids, they went out to meet the bridegroom. And they knew what they had to do. They had to go out there with the lambs, right? And they didn't know when the bridegroom would be coming back, but they had to welcome him. So they went out. 5 of them were wise enough to make preparations and had extra oil for their lambs, so that in case it ran out, they had spare. The other 5 didn't take extra with them. So when the call came out and says, the bridegroom has arrived, and they woke up from their sleep, they all fell asleep. They woke up from their sleep, trimmed their wicks. And the 5 of them who didn't bring oil said, oops, we're out of oil. And they went to ask those who had extra to give them some. And they said, no, sorry, we may not have enough for ourselves. Go to the shops and buy some for yourselves. So these 5 went, and while they were away, the bridegroom came. And they went in to the house, and they closed the door. When the 5 came back with their oil, they knocked on the door, let us in. And what did the bridegroom say? No, I don't know you. The door is shut. And they were left out. With the parable of the talents, now, the word talents there is a measure of weight, all right? Talents of gold, right? So we can take this as money bags. With the parable of the money bags, a master of the house is going away, and he has 3 servants, and he gives 1 5 bags of gold. To the second, he gave 3 bags of gold, and the last one, he gave 1 bag of gold. He goes away. After a while, he comes back, and they account to him for what they have been given. So the one who had 5 bags of gold said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of gold. Here, I have 10 bags now. I have made that money for you. And he was told by the master, oh, well, you're good and faithful servant, you know. Come and join me and enjoy. The one with 3 bags of gold came back to him and said, look, master, you gave me 3. I got 3 more. The same thing happened to him. He was ushered aside and says, well, well done, good and faithful servant. The last one said, master, I know you are a hard man. You sow where you did not, you reap where you did not sow. You know, you harvest where you did not scatter seeds. And so I buried that 1 bag of gold in the ground, so that when you came back, I could return it to you. And he was told, what? You lazy, wicked servant. You knew I was a hard man. Could you not have at least invested it in a bank? Put it there, and I can get some interest in return. So I want to point out some similarities, all right? As with all parables, they are stories that illustrate certain principles and points that the Lord wants us to know. But they don't explain the whole thing in great depth, but they give you key points that we can look at. The first thing we need to note is that the bridesmaids and the servants were waiting for the coming of somebody important. They knew he was coming. The second point is that they knew what they had to do to receive him. The bridesmaid had to keep the lights, the lamps on. The servants had to invest and come back with some profit from there. In both cases, there was a separation. Those that were inside and those that were outside. There were only 2 groups. none of them were in a position to change the outcome. When the master said this, or the bridegroom closed the door, it remained shut. The decision was final. Those who were accepted were greatly rewarded. Those who were rejected suffered greatly. Now, after these two parables, the Lord himself explains what it means. The master or the bridegroom is the Son of Man. The Son of Man refers to Jesus Christ. He will return, and when he does, he will call all nations to account. Every single person who is alive, he's alive then, and who was ever alive on this earth, would be called to account. And there will be a separation. And Jesus says it's just like a shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. Again, there are only two. There are no kangaroos, no llamas, no goats. No camels and stuff like that. So there are only two. There is no third category. And to one, it will be heaven. Heavenly glory, heavenly bliss, being in the presence of God. The other one is eternal punishment. It's called hell, right? We know the name, but we dare not say it most of the time for fear of offending. The basis of this separation is interesting. The king says this. Now, notice it was the Son of Man, and then now it says the king, all right, in verse 35. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous will say, when did we ever do that? And Jesus says, whenever you did that for one of the least of these of mine, you did it for me. Now, of course, the unrighteous didn't do that, and they were sent to the left where the goats went. And we listen to this and we have a little bit of discomfort coming up. He says, hang on, I thought the gospel of Christ was a gospel of grace. Why is he separating them based on works? What did some people do that others didn't? Isn't that salvation by works? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says very clearly, right, in the epistles, for by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, your faith in Jesus Christ. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works. Not because of works. It's very clearly spelled out, so that no one can boast. No one. So, how do we deal with this? Well, if we look at the passage carefully, in verse 34, it says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The word inheritance is key. Can you earn inheritance? Is it a wage? If it is a wage, if you can earn inheritance through working your way to heaven, then the Lord might have said, come and collect your salary. Take your pay. You deserve it. No, he said, come collect your inheritance. Inheritance is on the basis of a relationship. Child, father. Father hands the inheritance to the child. It is a basis of a relationship, not of works. So you can't work your way in. And further on in that verse, it says, the kingdom, come take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Before, at that point in time, that was created for you. But you hadn't existed yet. So it's nothing to do with you. In that sense. James chapter 2, 14 to 19. Let me read this to sustain the position that I'm putting forth. Verse 14. What good is it, brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, if you say you have faith and there's no action to prove your faith, that faith is not genuine. It's counterfeit. In fact, the Lord used a word in the last part of Matthew 24 to those who... There was another parable up there, actually, talking about the unfaithful servant. That was in end part of chapter 24. And he used the word, a place reserved for hypocrites. All right. So if we come here and we profess to the world around us that we are Christians, but we don't have anything to show for it, there's something wrong. Is that faith genuine? Do we really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because many of us are happy to have Jesus Christ as Savior, yes, anytime. But like any insurance policy that we buy physically these days, we have nothing to do with the insurer. No relationship other than, I'll give you some money, you give me my insurance, that's it. And when I need it, I'll come back to you. It's not like that, is it? It's a relationship, remember? Inheritance. Now, I'd like to expand a little bit on this issue of the bags of money and the significance of the bags of money. What could that represent? Let me just suggest that the bags of money represent the resources that God has given us, including life itself. Life itself is a resource. But we are also given time. Because we are alive, we have time. Our financial resources, your talents, abilities, your strength, your health, anything that God has given us is a resource. And we are all different. And God will call us all into account differently because some have five bags, some have three bags, some have one. But they all are given something. So likewise, all of us have all these resources. And I think it's good for us to, you know, maybe take some time quietly and ask God, God, what have you given me as my resource? The other thing I want to talk about is that, you know, both groups of people address Jesus Christ as Lord. When did we see you such and such? Lord. Even those who didn't really make him Lord. All right? And Jesus said before, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do his will. That's in Matthew chapter 7. In conclusion, I want to say something, a few points. Firstly, be prepared. All right. Secondly, all will be judged, left or right. No middle ground. No ifs, no buts. No appeal. It's either heaven or hell. And Jesus as Savior comes with Jesus as Lord. He is our commander. He's our master. He's our commander. The biggest mistake we can make is coming to church and thinking we are saved. It's all about, do you have genuine faith? I think the good news is this. For those of us who may not be certain of where we are, the bridegroom hasn't come yet. The master hasn't returned yet. We still have time. That's the good news. So make use of that time. Hope to see you in heaven. You never assume, you see? You never assume. Never assume. Because only God knows. We can't judge others. Okay. I think there's still time. I might go through the slides now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you very much for your word for us this morning. And we know that we have to tread carefully. We know we have to keep our eyes open, be prepared, and look towards you for all things, and trust in you for all things. Trust in your word. And Father, we pray that for those of us who are not certain, we pray that your Holy Spirit works in each one of us then to open our eyes to what is the real stuff, the truth that we need to know to bring us to you, to be accepted into your kingdom forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we might have the slides now. I think there's a bit of time. Just quickly. I was just going to say the width as well as the depth, all right? I'm just going to go through very quickly. This is what it looks like for those of you who do not know. That's the boys' dormitory at the background. And on the ground level is a hall for where the church will worship. The Hmong people around the area will come and worship. And this is Nu in action and Elizabeth in the background, you know, teaching the kids some English, conversational English. And we also have other activities with the kids. We do a lot of things with the kids. These are just snapshots. And here we are getting them to use straws to build a structure that can hold a 1.5 liter bottle of water. Yeah, that's the competition here. And that's just a snapshot to show you what girls do. And yeah, you know, when they're very familiar with you, that's what happens. They like to plait. And yeah, that's when that's Nu in the middle, and you see how warm they are, you know. Now, okay, just switching channels now to the Malabri village. I want to show you where the Malabri village is. This is the Malabri village. That's a satellite view. Those are villages down there. And the bigger section nearer the bottom, that area is the Hmong village. So they actually live in separate areas. But I want to show you where the Hmong church is that is looking after the Malabri village. See this circle? That's where the Hmong church is. And you see how far away it is from the rest of the Hmong village. And it is also down the hill. All right? Because in Thailand, if you're a Christian, you take the lowest position. And it's deliberate. They keep you far away. Deliberate. All right? So this is what, we were giving away some food. We brought 225 kilos of rice there to give them, and food, and different food stuff and stuff like that. And we try to visit them every time that we are there. That's Ayak, who's holding, she's from Wisconsin. She's one of the members from the States. She's Sudanese. Okay, this is we were at the Hmong church, and we took some time to speak to the Hmong pastor. Now, this is the Hmong pastor, by the way. She's only there 3 days when we arrived. She was only there 3 days. This is her first 3 days on the job. All right? Yeah, she just arrived. Sorry about that. And we just had a chat with her, and she's the Hmong pastor. And we spoke to the elders, as well as the elder of the Malabri village. And we're just trying to find out how we could best help them. We're still getting our heads around this. And later on, I will put something on the Facebook page to talk a little bit about what we have found out with the Malabri village. This is our time at the school. That's the school principal. We thought we would be there for a very small, you know, how says that, low-key kind of a English lessons for three classes of 20, but they had this big opening ceremony, And they have a banner put up there as well. I don't know whether you can, you know, the whole thing is like English camp, you know, Tawang Pa School and all that. Big deal. It was. And they were very, very kind to us. And this is one of the classes happening. And you can, you might just see Lillian in front with Vanessa, but it's a bit difficult to see there. And the kids enjoying the class as somewhere in the middle of a teaching session. And the teachers also sat in, all right? The English teachers sat in. By the way, they all got certificates at the end of it. And this is the funny thing. The teacher, one of the teachers came to me and says, "Can I have your full name?" I say, "Why do you need my full name?" "Oh, because we want you to sign the certificates." I said, "I'm not an English teacher. Lillian is the English teacher. We'll get her to sign." I said, "Yes, but you're the leader of the team, so you got to sign it." So I was like, "Okay, all right, fine." No argument. And then she presented me with this beautifully printed certificates on card. And Lillian's title was staff trainer. And they gave me a title, head staff trainer. I don't even teach English. And also, the teachers did get certificates as well, by the way, just for attending. So, yeah, that's one of the classes there. After the sessions, they just had a group photograph. So it was a wonderful time. And yeah, they were presenting us with the gifts as well. All right. At the end of it, it was really good because we met up with the principal of the school, who was not there at the end during the closing ceremony. There was a closing ceremony. And she said to me, "No, we really like you guys to come back and help us. But not just for the kids. Come and train our teachers as well." So the doors are open. All right, in terms of building relationship, the doors are open. Seems to be every year we have kids baptizing and we bring them to the waterfall. And this year we have four being baptized. All right, and we praise God for that opportunity and that privilege every time we go back to baptize them. And that's after the baptism. That's Daniel having fun there in the water and Elizabeth. And the kids do what they do best. So we need young people to do that with them. All right? Yeah. So that's what they do. And this is another aspect of the ministry. I was telling you about the width, how broad it's growing. Now, this is the Hmong team actually going without us. We were busy doing other things. And they went up to Doi Tiu, which is a Hmong village, and they prayed together and shared the word with the Hmong church there. It's a very small church in Doi Tiu. I think maybe six families. Right? So that's actually all of them, plus our team members. Okay. Maybe one or two might be missing there because they might be working at the farms and all that. And we were at the dormitory. Back at the dormitory, we were invited to one of the elders of the church there. We went to his home to have dinner. And he invited us over for dinner. They're very hospitable people. And this is when our Hmong ladies were, you know, we shared, our Hmong ladies shared a recipe with their ladies. And this is their turn to share a recipe with ours. And they really had a wonderful time of fellowship. And I talk about building relationship. It's happening at many, many levels, all right? That's one of the trucks. Only the young people are silly enough to sit behind, but, you know. That's our team. Now, the two in pink on the right-hand side, left. On the left-hand side, they are the resort owners, the place we go to stay every time we're there. So we've become very good friends, and they actually, you know, this time around, they brought a bag of like 5 kilos of chicken and 90 eggs, gave it to us as, "This is for the dormitory." How nice is that? You know? And yeah, that's the first casualty, physical one. That. Oh, okay, the lady on the left, that's the school principal, by the way. And she was there at the airport only because she missed the flight. I was sending the Thai team back. I sent them there, drove them to the airport, and I was so surprised to meet her there, and that's when she gave me the feedback. So God placed her there for a reason. All right, that was good. That's the kids at the dorm. Now, very quickly, the depth of the mission. I spoke of the depth of the mission. Now, see this beautiful bride over there and the handsome groom. That bride, she went through Bible college, and Pat and I supported her through Bible college. We were in Doi Musa, which is north of Bangkok. And in a little village, they had a wedding there. They invited us to be there. And I was given the privilege to preach a sermon. It's incredible. When we were in Chiang Mai, we met up with three of the ex-students from the dorm, and they're all doing very well in different universities over there. All right, they have average roughly about 3.5 GPA over 4. All right, they're really good. And this gentleman graduated from, well, he left the dormitory about five years ago. And he came that one morning and gave me this painting. He came at 7 a.m. in the morning. He found out that we were there the night before. He came at 7 a.m. in the morning and said, wanted to talk to us. So he presented us with this painting. It was just about this size. And we could smell that it was still fresh paint. And I said, when did you do this? Oh, I didn't sleep last night. Hits you here, doesn't it? Another girl that one of our friends is supporting through Bible college, and she's graduating next year. She's doing an internship at the moment, right? And these are the other kids who came to visit us at the dorm. Right? So this is just a breeze through of what's been happening. So it's really wonderful ministry that the Lord has given us the privilege of being part of. And I want to thank you guys again for your part in this. All right. So continue to pray for us. We are building the next team for either this end of December or early January. Let us know if you're interested. Thanks.
Thanks, Esprit.